Final 5 seconds. Illinois undefeated. Gonzaga suffers their first setback as the Fighting Illini go to 10-0 on the season as they come into the kennel. They win it by 11. They trailed by as many as 11 in the first half, and Brandon Paul pulled Illinois back into this game.
We saw one of the more special performances of the young college basketball season. Brandon Paul coming into his own in this senior season.
Stephen Bardo said it. I agree. Brandon Paul won a game Saturday night. The Fighting Illini improved at 10-0 on the year. They get it done 85-74. Those highlights courtesy of ESPN2, Roxy Bernstein, and Stephen Bardo on the call. It is the Tay and Jay Show, ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3. Loved watching the game. Loved listening to the game. What a pair that announced it, including Illinois' own Stephen Bardo. He joins us now on the Jupiter's at the Crossing phone line. Mr. Bardo, how are you, buddy?
Doing great, guys. How about yourself?
Well, we can't be any better right now, Steve.
Well, I understand that in Illini country because we had a lot to look forward to after that football season.
Oh, that's true. Hey, Stephen, before we get to the Illini, that atmosphere up at Gonzaga was just awesome. I wish I could have been there. They had Stockton there, John Stockton, Adam Morrison. They were up for this one, too, the fans. But you mentioned it during the broadcast that you've done a lot of West Coast Conference games, and that's one of the better atmospheres in the NCAA. What is it like there, and how is it different from other places?
Well, it's a state-of-the-art arena, but it's small. It's like 6,000 or 7,000 seat venue. And so, there's a certain intimacy to the venue because of its proximity to the court. So when you're an opposing team, the crowd is right on top of you, and it's got kind of an old school feel, but it's almost a retro feel because of the closeness of the fans. But it's a very new building, and so it's quite a unique situation. The Gonzaga and Spokane area, they're basketball crazy up there. I think it's one of the more underrated basketball markets in the country. And they really look forward to supporting their Zags, and they come all out, and they're very loud, but they're not nasty, but they're loud, and they let you know that we're going to give you a hard time this evening. So, for Illinois to go in there and win as convincingly as they did, it took an extraordinary effort by the Illini and Brandon Paul.
Yeah, and Illinois seems to have played well in those smaller gyms so far this year, away from the Assembly Hall and in those big atmospheres. How big of a statement game was that for Illinois? How much can we put into that one game?
Well, I think you can put a lot because, when we as college basketball analysts, whether with ESPN or CBS or Sporting or wherever, we looked at the team and the way that they folded down the stretch, and I'll say it, they folded. It's like they quit playing for Bruce Weber. It didn't leave a very good impression with people in my position. And so when you come into this season, you have the unknown of whether these guys are going to show up and play every night. You have the unknown of what John Gross and his system is going to be like. And so, the program had all those things going against it. But when you see them come into a place where a number of BCS-level schools have gone in to that area, to Gonzaga, to Spokane, and come away with an L. For them to play as well as they did after taking the opening punch in the mouth, Gonzaga jumped out, I believe, a 12-3 lead. The place was up for grabs, and they were systematically got back in the game and took control of the game down the stretch. The way that they handled Gonzaga, a team that many think can get to the Final Four in Atlanta, the way they handled them on their home court was very impressive and opened some eyes around the country.
He is Stephen Bardo, ESPN analyst. If you want to follow Stephen on Twitter, it's at Stephen Bardo. I want to ask you this, Steve. They played like this in Maui. We just talked about that. But then it seems when they come home to the hall, they almost play down a little bit to competition. You played college basketball. It's hard to play at that elite level every game. Why is that when you come home to the hall against a Gardner-Webb, against a West Carolina, that it can be a little bit tougher?
Because we're talking about 18 and 22-year-olds primarily. And, you tell young players things like, hey, Gardner-Webb is going to play us tough. They've played other schools extremely tough on the road, and it's not going to be an easy game. And so these guys are probably thinking, yeah, okay, whatever. Gardner-Webb, okay, right. And they don't listen. And it's human nature at that age not to listen to your coaches when they're trying to get you up for those type of games. But what happens is you get into that type of game, you're playing against juniors and seniors, and so these guys have been on this stage before, so they're not intimidated by the likes of Illinois, even in the Assembly Hall. So I think what you're seeing is a team that is starting to really understand how they have to be ready to play, and they have a target on their back now. And so it's going to be interesting to see these two games this week. I believe Norfolk State on Tuesday and an undefeated Eastern Kentucky team that has a Chicago kid or two on their team. It's going to be interesting to see how they respond to the challenge that these two teams will bring, because these two teams, they have nothing to lose. They're playing with house money, and they're going to come in and play like it.
Well done. Brandon Paul, Stephen, he looks like an all-Big Ten player. Is it for real this time?
I think so. Brandon is such a intelligent young man. Outside of playing basketball, he's an intelligent young man. I think he studies the game. And what happens, I think he gets down on himself more than anybody else. And he's his own worst critic. And it's been wonderful because I'm a proponent of student-athlete development. I love watching young people come in as freshmen, wide-eyed and wet behind the ears, and leave as young people ready to tackle the world. And Brandon's evolution has been so impressive. And, he digressed last year, I think everybody will admit. But the way that he's come out this year and just his poise on the floor, he's relaxed, he's aggressive, he's not worrying about his shot, he's just letting it go. A lot of that has to go to John Gross and his staff for instilling the confidence and really, showing Brandon that just because you're a senior doesn't mean that you're a leader. You have to show leadership by being consistent and coming out and being aggressive and utilizing your talent to help the team, not just yourself. And I think Brandon's really accepted that challenge here early on.
You know the voice, Stephen Bartow, ESPN analyst, joining us on the Jupiters of the Crossing phone line. Stephen, this is a player we haven't seen at Illinois in a while. Dimitri McCamey was good. He could take over some games. But Brandon, all around, I mean, his defensive effort the other night was really impressive as well, just as impactful on that side. When was the last time, or is there a player that you think Brandon plays like?
Wow, that's a great question.
I see flashes of, like, Kendall, but I mean, he's not that athletic or maybe that big, but there's just flashes like that.
Yeah, he does have flashes of guys like Kendall. I'm trying to think of a bigger wing player that we've had that could slide over to the point guard position like that. Brandon, just that game, I believe he has three or four steals. He had two blocks. I think he had six or seven rebounds, and he harassed his guy on defense. He even was guarding Elias Harris in the first half when they would switch, and really nullified Elias Harris's quickness, because we had no, there was nobody that could keep up with Elias Harris at the beginning of the game, and Brandon switched on him, giving up three or four inches and some weight, and Brandon did a fantastic job on him. So there wasn't an aspect of the game that he didn't touch. Only thing he didn't do was sell popcorn and sell posters at halftime.
Well, Stephen, you brought it up. Elias Harris, Illinois couldn't stop him.
No.
And it was interesting that he only had eight shot attempts. And I thought Olynyk had a good start, though he got sloppy. Gonzaga came out guns a-blazing. But Illinois made some adjustments. I thought, they got some good minutes from Mike Henry, some other players. But the guards really took over. And I thought John Gross coached a good game. This is nothing against Mark Few, but did Gross out-coach Mark Few in that game?
I don't think there's any question about it. Yeah. And I think that what we're seeing is a guy who was underrated. And I think we have to thank Brad Stevens, honestly, because I know, Mike Thomas went after Brad Stevens, and Brad is very comfortable at Butler. And they asked him, where should we look? And he told him John Gross. And I'm not sure that he would have been on the radar had Brad Stevens not, put his name in the mix and that we listened. Because from what I've seen, there's not going to be many times where John Gross is going to be outmatched or outcoached. And, I mean, that's in the Big Ten with the coaching staff. I've seen him do some things early in the season and in the MAC championship game last year with Ohio that I have rarely seen. And to be able to, like you mentioned, bring Mike Henry in and put him in a position to be successful, not say, okay, you're an undersized four, but in this system, I need you to do this. Say, well, Mike Henry's a great spot-up shooter. He's a really good rebounder. He suffers a little bit on defense, but let's put him in a position to be successful. He hit a big three towards the end of the first half that got the Illini going. The change-ups to the zone defense where Kelly Olynyk was catching the ball at the free throw line, and he was able to input it on the post to Elias Harris. They took that away. Just some of the adjustments that Gross is able to make and that the players are able to execute is really a joy to see from my point being a basketball purist.
Do you think Illinois's got a special one here?
Oh, in terms of the coach?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's on the level of a Brad Stevens, Shaka Smart in terms of being some of the most coveted younger coaches in the business. I don't think there's any question about it.
Stephen Bardo, ESPN analyst, wrapping up with him. Again, you can follow Stephen at Stephen Bardo. He's joining us on the Jupiters at the Crossing phone line. And, Stephen, before we let you go, I just want to say thank you very much. I know we had you on last week and had you on again today, but it means a lot for Illini fans to hear what you had to say. Illinois now number 10 in the country, a couple mid-majors before Missouri. Now, the players, and, Stephen, you know this as a player, you can't look past these guys coming up, but we can. How do you think Illinois is going to match up with Mizzou in that bragging rights game?
Man, that's going to be one of the better, I think, one of the better Brian Rice games that we've seen in years.
Right.
And Jabari Brown is a transfer that's going to be eligible, I believe, for that game. He's a transfer from Oregon, 6'5 wing player. We know that they lost Michael Dixon, and that's going to hurt. But Flip Pressey, Ernest Ross is a tremendous athlete at 6'6", 225. Keon Bell is a tremendous athlete at the guard spot. And they have size up front with Oriaki. Lawrence Bowers is playing as well as any big man in the country. It's going to be a war. And I am so upset that I'm going to be in studio, that I cannot be at the game, but I will be watching. And I'm scared to even predict that one because it's with the way that the confidence level that the Illini are playing with, and the veteran players that Missouri has and the emotion that comes into that game, that could be an early, Sweet 16, Elite 8 type game between Illinois and Missouri.
It's going to be interesting because I don't think there's a lot of perimeters that can match up with Illinois.
Yeah.
Mizzou can. And that'll be interesting to see how Illinois handles that.
Yeah, and Flip Pressey is a nightmare for anybody. Tracy Abrams has done a fantastic job of defending the point guard position, but Flip Pressey's quickness poses a real problem. And if he can break down the defense and get it to his teammates in a position that they prefer, it could be a long night for the Illini. So it's going to be a great matchup at multiple positions and the electricity in the building. Again, I'm just mad that I can't be there.
Steven, is it too risky for you to call in sick that day, or you think people will notice you down there?
Well, I think that the people at ESPN will understand that they start in the last 5 to 6 years, they've really understood the importance of that game and how big it is. And so I think that's why Jimmy Dykes is able to get it this year, because he probably, he's one of our better ones, if not our best one, in my opinion. And, he looked at the schedule and he said, I definitely want that one. So if it couldn't be me, I'm not mad that Jimmy's getting a chance to do that one.
Fantastic. Stephen Bardo, ESPN analyst. Stephen, thank you so much, buddy. Great call on Saturday night, and we appreciate you joining us again here on the Tay and Jay Show.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Thank you.